Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel.
Ricky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a dumbass. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye now.
Holly.
I finally got boobs and a butt back.
And Scotty the Body.
Am I not as cool and good-looking as I think I am?
The Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
No, my tongue feels too big today.
Only from Hot 101.5.
Give me Kit Kat or give me death.
Tampa Bay's new hit music.
It is another day, another Miguel and Holly Uncensored, where I feel like we're tackling the tough issues that we just don't have the time to on our regular broadcast show. Mm-hmm. And we have time to really delve into topics. And sometimes just be completely crazy and play some random songs that we'd never be able to play on the radio.
Or inappropriate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I feel like one of the things that has been occurring a lot is when people call you and or you see someone you haven't seen in a while and you go, how are you? There's that, well, murder hornets, a pandemic, Black Lives Matter,
Aunt
social
Jemima.
Unrest, Aunt Jemima now, J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter, do we still support it? Do we still support these things that possibly have racist undertones to them that have always? Mm. And the world could end this weekend.
Oh, yeah, they'll forget because apparently somebody effed it up. And the Mayan calendar that said the world was going to end December 21st, 2012.
Yeah.
Or was it December 12th, 20-something?
December 21st, 2012.
That was wrong. They were using the Julian calendar, not the Gregorian calendar. So the date actually is June 21st, 2020. Yeah. So that's... Oh, and there's aliens.
Yeah.
On top of all of that.
Don't forget, they said there's probably aliens.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's something else around the corner. But one of the things that I feel like I, as a gay man, has forgotten is that it is pride.
Happy yes. Pride!
I mean, I still have not put up on the Miguel and Holly Insta and Facebook page, like, the Miguel and Holly Pride logo.
The Pride logo.
Like, I just, there have been, like, my mind is filled with so many other things that, like, little things like that I'm just forgetting about. And because the normal markers of pride are not here. Like normally, the beginning of June, I would go to Orlando at some point for gay days because that usually would kick it off. And we were planning on going this year because we didn't get to go last year.
Oh.
And then normally you go to the mall and you see pride flags everywhere, or you go downtown St. Peter, Tampa, you see pride flags. I haven't been to downtown. I can't tell you the last time I went to a mall. We didn't go to Orlando.
Although I will say they had rainbow balloons at Publix.
Hey! Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, I was at Publix yesterday and I got one because my daughter wanted a rainbow heart balloon.
Mm.
And when I was getting them, I can't remember her name, the one that works there in the bakery usually, and she knows us. She was like, are you getting that for Miguel? I was like, no, I was getting it for my daughter. But yeah, so they have their pride balloons out. And by the way, at Universal, because I was there this past weekend, they have a whole bunch of paraphernalia that says love is universal.
Mm,
and so we got a backpack, and it's got the rainbow stripes on it.
Love
and
it.
There's like T-shirts and all kind of cool stuff. So it's there. It's just, I feel like it's almost, people are so busy and so preoccupied with all of the things
right.
that there's not as much of a focus on it.
It's not. But I do feel like over the next couple of weeks, what would have been St. Pete Pride Festival and Parade that we normally are a part of, where we host it, we're the exclusive media sponsor of it. We're going to do little things here and there to try to help with that.
Yeah.
But it's not the normal stuff. But I do want to spend some time on the podcast over the next week and a half of amplifying voices from Pride.
Mm.
So instead of our normal, ooh, join us at the Pride bar crawl or join us at the festival. Like, what is it like being an LGBTQ member? And yesterday in our podcast, we had a really awesome conversation with the parent of an 11-year-old trans kid and talked about their journey as a parent and what it's like realizing that, working towards letting their child live their authentic life and just how that plays out. So we have another Miguel and Holly fan member that said, well, I have a different perspective of what it's like to live as a trans person. So Seth, we're calling you that. Because Holly told me sort of what you wrote us, and I want you sort of talk about what it is that you wrote us, and then we can get into the details of the life that you live.
Yeah, sure. Is there any questions that you specifically have, or?
Well, no, we'll just get into it. We're recording the podcast now, so we just like to talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, Holly, because I didn't get a chance to read the email.
Okay, yeah, and that's why I'm really glad that you actually slid up in my DMs, because Miguel's sometimes get
a
little crazy.
Right.
But you wanted to speak, because now, Seth, you listened to yesterday's podcast, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm interested to kind of hear your story. We're actually following each other on Instagram and have been for a while. And so your story, I feel like, is sort of inspirational on a couple different levels, not only with being a trans person, but also the incredible weight loss that you've been through, which congratulations. So talk with us about your trans experience first. Because in the message, and is if it's not okay to say this, we can always edit it out of the podcast. You said that you're not necessarily openly trans. What does that mean,
right?
And how did that come about?
Okay, so basically, what we call it in the community for trans people is I'm stealth. So stealth means that you just live as your gender, and you don't announce it to people who don't know. There are different sides of views on that, kind of like politics. You know, some people think that it's harmful to be stealth because you're not raising more trans awareness. I understand that. Some people think that, you know, some people like me are like, you know, I'm very grateful that people use their voice to give us more awareness, but the way I see it is like, I came out because I'm not the gender that I was assigned at birth. And my whole life, I had to go through battling that. And for once, I just want to feel normal. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to feel like the gender that I am. So no, I don't want people to see me and think, oh, you're trans, and then they don't see me as a guy. They see me as something in between. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you are more so taking control of your own personal life. And by the way, any person that's part of some type of community that can be marginalized, I don't think it's required that you become a spokesperson.
It's not always your job to have to speak for everyone in your community and be an advocate, because there are people that want to do that, that have the talent to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just living your life is all that you need to do.
Yeah. So talk us through how it was in your experience. And this is fascinating to me, because I don't know that many trans people. I think I could probably count on one hand. You think, right? Mm. And that's the point. Mm-hmm. I would say for the ones that I guess are not stealth, I would say I know probably on one hand. I could count on one hand.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. So I could know more, but I just don't know that I know.
Mm-hmm.
What was the experience like for you? And like we talked to Mother Vanessa yesterday, she said it wasn't like a question of, well, when did you know? It was like it was always a knowing. It wasn't a realization. Mm-hmm. Would you echo that, or was it different for you?
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, I didn't come out till, I don't know, I think I was like 25.
Okay.
I'm 30 now.
Okay.
So from the first thought that I remember as a human, I thought of my brain thoughts were as a male. I even had like little like nicknames of the like personality in my head, you know what I mean? And so when I was growing up, it was always, I was the tomboy, you know. My mom celebrated my differences back then. She was like, you know, you be you, and you don't, you know, don't let other people bring you down. And if you want to wear boy clothes and this and that. And that kind of changed when I came out, but that's a whole other story. But like, so as long as I remember, like, that was my way of thinking. Mm-hmm. However, back then, like, it wasn't as open out in the public as now. So where I knew I felt like a boy, I didn't realize, like, hey, I'm transgender. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So, and, you know, I went through, when I got older, you know, I started watching different, you know, LGBT, like, media, you know, shows and stuff. Because then, you know, once I got older, I thought, well, hey, I must be a lesbian. So, and then, you know, I started seeing people on there and stuff, but it still didn't really, like, click. And once I met my wife, she really just was, like, my rock and biggest supporter. And I honestly don't know if I would have gotten to this point if I hadn't met her. Mm. And she just really helped me, you know, just encourage me to look into the things that I was wondering about. And kind of was just like a process. So once I realized, like, this is definitely it, I just immediately started, you know, I went to a therapist and got on hormones, and, you know, I had top surgery like 2 years ago.
Okay.
And can you,
so it was pretty quick.
When you say top surgery, do you mind going, not obviously into detail, but like if there's someone like, I don't, what does top surgery mean? What does that mean?
So, you know, they like cut off your chest or whatever.
Gotcha. Okay. And so as you've made these steps to, like, be your authentic self and to live your life, how has your family responded?
Well, it definitely hasn't been as bad as that lady you were talking to yesterday. Mm-hmm. I haven't, like, lost anyone. It's not easy, but there are people who have it so much worse than me, so it's hard for me to complain. What the thing that changed, like, sometimes that bothers me is that my mom always was, like, my biggest supporter growing up, and she was so cool with me being boyish and stuff like that. And it's almost like when I came out, she forgot all of that and was, she just acted surprised, she didn't see it coming. And then it's like her and my family called me my old name all of a sudden when they didn't used to. Like I always had a nickname, you know, like I never felt okay being called my full name. And it's like they started calling me that like they always had. And it was just weird. It was like they wanted to believe that they didn't see it coming when it, to me, it was so obvious. Like, I didn't even think people were going to be that surprised.
Right. I'm interested in the psychology behind that because, like you said, I think that maybe it was one thing for them to accept a woman or a girl as a tomboy because in a mind of like someone maybe that's older, that's they've heard of that and they're familiar with that. But maybe in the mind of, oh, wait a minute, this daughter that we had is now our son, and it was just like, nope, it's shutting down. I can't do that. I've shut down.
Right.
And so it's like, how do you reconcile that? But have they come further now, or are they still that way?
They're doing really well.
Okay.
It kind of comes in waves, though. Like they act supportive to me. Don't get me wrong. But it does come in waves where, like, I can tell. So, like, sometimes my stepdad and my mom will get my pronouns right all the time and stuff. And then sometimes I can tell when she hasn't been saying the right thing to the people she's talking to because she'll slip a lot.
Mm,
and I'm like,
wow.
Dude, it's been 5 years. Like, I have a beard.
You're like, hello? Sorry. Not can't get past this.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh,
that's tough. What is it like when that happens? Are you angry, frustrated, upset?
It's frustrating because I know that she could be doing better than she's she acts like she's putting in more of an effort than I think she is. Mm. And like I said, I can't really complain that much because there are people whose families like are a lot less supportive. And I know she's not like deliberately trying to be rude or anything, but with my mom, I feel like sometimes she's not as receptive to any idea, let alone this one, than she could be. Mm. But I mean, you know, she supports me. So, I mean, like I said, I can't really complain that much, but it does get frustrating, especially this far down the road. So after I got my surgery, I stayed at my job that I was at, because their insurance covered that. So I had actually switched my pronouns there, and that was frustrating. And then as soon as I got the surgery, I literally applied for a better job while I was out on leave for that. And a month later, I had a new job, and no one at this job even knows.
Mm. And was that a conscious decision that you decided this is just how they're going to know me now, or was it anything deeper than that? How did you come to that?
Yeah, I mean, not only the stress of the job I was at that had nothing to even do with my gender, that I knew I needed to get a new job, but it absolutely is liberating to finally be seen like as me. And like no one even questioning it. Like if someone comes up, like they have no idea.
Right.
And they shouldn't. Like that's why I wanted to reach out to you guys, is because I am grateful that there are voices out there talking for us and stuff. But I also think sometimes it helps to have stealth people out there, because I think sometimes in the media, it all gets sensationalized. And so people who are like on the right and things like that, they don't realize that it's just a normal person who happens to have a slightly different detail than you in an area that you don't know anything about.
Mm. Like, that's super interesting.
I don't know anything about your guys' areas and stuff. So like, why would, you know, it's not any different. It's just one small detail. Like for me, being trans is just one detail of my life. And I mean, that's not even the most important thing, you know?
Right.
Can I ask about, and again, if any of the questions are off base, just let us know. But can I ask about your wife, and you met her before you transitioned? Okay. So when you met her, how did it go that did you know that you were going to be transitioning, or she sort of helped you, it seems like, build on becoming who you actually are? And so I'm curious how that relationship blossomed, how it has continued. Has it changed? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah. So I have had the most luck when it comes to my wife, because my wife, I think my wife is pansexual.
Okay.
She was only with one person before me. It was a guy. So when I met her, it's not like she was like a devout lesbian or something like that.
Okay.
It was like one thing after another, like me exploring into, I think once I met her, I started becoming more comfortable with myself.
Makes sense.
And then she would just support me and be like, so if I wanted to look into something that had to do with, you know, being trans or whatever, buy something that would help that, she would be like, yeah, go ahead, just try it. Like, you know, and she just was there for me, and I don't think it affected anything in a bad way. It was a little weird for us to get used to, like, okay, first we were lesbians, now we're a straight couple. That was a little weird.
I can imagine, but
I think it was weirder for me, honestly, because I had been like, oh, I'm a lesbian, and she just had been with one person before me, no big deal. Like, so
so she's like, well, okay, here I go.
I'm on for the journey.
Maybe I'm bisexual. I don't know what. We'll try it.
Right.
Pretty much. And also, like, before I started hormones, I was overly emotional. I think I had a hormone problem. Like, So, like, the testosterone has actually helped me kind of, like I have a, like, a borderline, like, personality, you know, disorder. So, like, my emotions go in extremes.
Right.
So I'm on medication for that. But, like, back then it was, like, my hormones were all over the place. So I would just break down crying at work and not know how to stop. Like, it was crazy. Mm. But, yeah, so I think it's actually just helped things. And I think she likes me most the longer I've gone on this journey because she likes the confidence that I've built.
Yeah.
And you're probably being your true authentic self.
And there's nothing to not like about that. Like, that's what is so attractive to anyone from anyone is when you are confident and when you feel you love yourself.
And you're comfortable in your skin.
Ooh, yes.
And people are like, ooh, hey, how you doing? Yeah. I want some of that.
Regardless, I think, where you fall on the sexuality spectrum. So it's probably been a huge attractor, just, I mean, in personality-wise, even.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely has said that, you know, the more, like, that we've gone through this, like, the more I'm confident I've seemed in myself and that she definitely sees, like, that more appealing now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's just been number one supporter. I don't really have a story of being with a spouse that couldn't handle it or, you know, didn't know what to do or whatever. Like, she's been so amazing the whole way. And that's just who she is, though. Like, she's such a supportive person. She's such an empath. So it doesn't surprise me. So
what would you say to people that are listening that are like, I just don't get it. I can't wrap my brain around it. Mm-hmm. If you were born a woman, just be a woman. It doesn't make sense to me. What would you say to them?
I think it's like anything else where people forget that they can step away from their situation and kind of just try to flip it and put it in the perspective of someone else. So, like, imagine you're like Holly. Imagine that all of a sudden you're going out and everyone's calling you sir, and you're like, dude, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't feel like you're what they're calling you. And it's so problematic, especially, like, for instance, when I had to go in the girls' locker room at gym in high school, like, my head was down the whole time. I felt like I should not be there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, per se, I was trans to label it, but I knew I wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah. Okay. So you're like, this is wrong. I feel wrong. And, like, you know when you feel that way, right? Like, I mean, we can put that across the board on anything.
Right.
Like, you know what in your gut when you're like, something isn't right. That's called your intuition, right? Mm-hmm. So you're feeling that and you're like, so I look like I should be here, but I don't feel like I should be here. And that was,
and,
like,
know,
the first
inkling.
I think
I always assumed people saw me the way I saw myself. So I felt like people saw me and were like, that's not a normal girl. Like, that's not.
Mm.
Like, apparently I thought people saw me more boyish than they did.
Mm.
But I don't know how, because, like, looking back on pictures, like, my wife will be like, how did your mom not know? Like, it's just so obvious.
Well, we see what we want to see,
yeah.
I think, based on our own realities and our own perceptions, and we sort of put that on other people. So,
and I've definitely learned that, like, with family, because it's always been easy for me to put some space in between me and my family when I know, like, I need it. But it's just funny how people you could live with for 20 years don't know you.
Mm. You know, what you're
perfect
saying.
Perfect tie-in, by the way, to yesterday's podcast.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And how you should see your children.
Mm-hmm.
See them for who they are.
Not what you want to see them for, but who they
are. Yes.
And I think what you're saying, it rings so true. And I had not thought about that in years, about how even as a gay man, I always used to have that feeling when I was in the locker room, because I would always think to myself, like all the straight guys in here are like joking and laughing and they're undressing. And I was always like, I feel like I shouldn't be looking, because I know that in my brain, I'm not just looking at them like, oh, hey, bro.
Yeah, right.
I'm exactly. like, hey, bro, what you got down there? Like, oh,
and you're like, oh, and
but it felt like I was like a peeping Tom almost, like I shouldn't be there. Like I should be sort of in like my own little locker so I could change because I felt like I was looking for the wrong reasons.
Right.
And so it's so fascinating that you say that, Seth. I totally identify with that.
Yeah.
If there is someone listening that you sort of awoken something in them and they're like, all these feelings that Seth has been talking about are things that I'm starting to feel, what is the first step in starting that process of becoming who you know that you are?
It could be different for different people, but when I first started realizing what my options were and what was available to me, I started buying things that help that situation. Like there are things that you could do. Like, for instance, like if let's say you're female to male, like you can bind your chest. So they make things that will, like, flatten out your chest and stuff. They make prosthetics that you could use and stuff. And I would play around and with that stuff to see how I felt, see if I felt more comfortable. As far as, like, getting the actual process going medically, most states you have to seek out a gender therapist before you can start hormones. And so I personally don't have any qualms with that because it is a very serious thing. It annoys me when people are like, oh, well, what if someone regrets it? And it's like, this is a big thing. It's not something that you can just jump into
right.
lightly.
It's not like accidentally buying a car you don't like. It's like, oh, I made a big purchase. Got to take it back. This is your soul that you're dealing with. This no one
and
goes into this
other
lightly.
People are going to treat you. So you wouldn't just jump in. It's like Miguel, like you wouldn't have come out as gay if you weren't sure, like especially in the time that we grew up, like you knew you were going to get some backlash from
it. Oh yeah.
So you wouldn't just do that.
Because you're like, well, this seems fun to try.
We dabble in this.
Yeah, just trying on a shoe. Like
that's the thing is, people think it's like, oh, I feel masculine. It's not like that. It's completely different. I understand it's hard to understand, like, if you're not going through it. But it's not that you're just like, oh, I like masculine things. It's like you actually feel like you are a man. And that's who's in your brain. Like, but, yeah, so you have to seek out, like, a gender therapist. And then you can, you know, I found a lot of resources online. There are people who list things in different states of what's available to you. Healthcare is a bitch. At least here, I have to drive an hour away to get my hormones. And if I go to any other doctor and have to tell them that I'm trans, they usually treat me like a freak. And that was before they took away our rights. So this should be fun. but if you have like a cold or something and you're trans, you don't have to tell them. But if it's something like more invasive, then obviously you have to tell them.
Well, Seth, thank you so much for sharing your story. I really hope that you've helped some people understand, because, you know, I always tell people when it comes to being gay that, you know, it's not for you to understand, but it's for you to respect that I'm a human being that just wants to be happy and wants to live a life. And so, you know, hopefully we've helped some people just even get to that.
Right.
And not be like, well, oh my gosh, Where it's like, I'm a human being.
Yeah. And I think that the even though they can be uncomfortable and you sort of feel like, ooh, maybe this isn't something that someone wants to talk about or should talk about, whatever, I think having the conversations only help.
Right. Absolutely.
So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. And I just wanted to, like, reiterate that, like, being trans doesn't have to be like this sensationalized, like weird third gender. Like, I think that some people think of it, and that's why they're afraid to give us like rights and stuff. Like, we're literally like, your neighbor could be trans and you wouldn't even know. It's not a big deal. It really isn't a big deal.
Right. And actually, real quick, because I had someone interview me yesterday about the decision that came down with the Supreme Court about being able to fire someone, or you can't fire someone based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. And I was interviewed, and they asked me about trans people and about the bathroom issue. And I spoke on it the best that I could. But from your perspective, because I want to make sure I said the right thing, if someone came to you and they were like, well, I don't want you being in the bathroom, blah, 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 blah. Like, what do you say to people like that who have that belief?
It's really hard, because usually people who think like that are the opposite of anyone that I associate with. But,
right.
But it's just like, they're like I said, they're seeing it as some kind of weird, like, third in between. Or they're seeing a man in a dress. Hi, that's drag. That's not trans. Like,
right.
If you're worried about someone, if a woman is worried about someone looking at them in the bathroom, why aren't they so worried about lesbians? Like, a trans woman is not going to look at you in the bathroom. They're scared for their life. They're more worried about getting in and out as quick as they can without being, like, you know, harassed. They don't care about you. Get over yourself. Like, that's not going to happen. And if a guy walks in and is like, oh, I'm transgender, like, no, he's not going to. He's going to look like a normal guy if he's actually going in there as, like, some kind of predator.
Thank you.
It's just an excuse, I think. I think people just need an excuse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Seth, thank you so much for bearing your soul and sharing your story with us. And as we are celebrating St. Pete Pride, even though we don't have all the normal festivities, but being able to shine a spotlight on the different people in the Miguel and Holly fam and what makes it so diverse and so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You guys don't know it, but you're like my best friend.
We are. That's why, yes, we call you the Miguel and Holly fam.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so, so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love that. I thought that was just so cool, because I've never gotten to sit down and have those conversations, because I have trans friends in my life.
But at the same time, do you really want to, like, go to a cocktail party with them and be like, so let's talk?
Your parents. Yeah, let's start there.
Yeah, nobody want to do that.
Those aren't conversations we're having at Enigma when we're sitting around having some cocktails.
I know a person that I was in a wedding with who I don't even know. I don't know the proper way to address this person, so I won't, but I would love to hear this person's story.
Mm.
I actually think they go by the Z pronoun, and that confuses me. And I don't mean to say that scares me. Mm-hmm. Don't confuse the two.
Right.
It confuses me, and I don't understand it. If I could reach out to this person and maybe get them on the podcast either tomorrow or later this week or next week or something, since we're in Pride Month anyway.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll do that, because I just feel like we're getting a lot of knowledge.
Right.
And it's okay. Like, obviously, nobody wants you to, like, intrude on their business. But if someone is willing to come on and speak and even just answer questions from their own perspective.
Right.
I find it really helpful.
Absolutely. And I just love bringing on different voices, because I'm tired of talking. And you know my story. You heard my story. You hear it every morning on the radio.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah. So it's nice to hear some other perspectives on people in the LGBTQ plus community. So thank you. And if you are one of those members and want to be spotlighted for the rest of this month, you can always shoot one of us an email. Probably Holly.
Yeah, probably.
Holly at hot1015tampabay.com.
Yeah.
And you can always hit her up there. If you want a Pride sticker, I've got a few more left. And even if you're like, I'm pretty sure they're all out, shoot me an email and I'll let you know if it's going to be a Pride sticker or a regular sticker, okay?
Right.
Miguel at hot1015tampabay.com. Holly, what's all your social?
Radio Holly on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott. At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller. You can see me on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, and Facebook. And you can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's wow.
And even if you ask Alexa to pull up Miguel and Holly Uncensored, it'll do it there too.
Why not?
So just make sure to rate and subscribe. Until next time.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Quarantine edition from Hot 101.5. Made hot by Corona Beer.